Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and welcome to another one of our Patreon previews. Been a long time since we have done this, so we figured we'd throw this one out on YouTube because we are starting Heroes versus Villains for Every Season Matters, which is what our top tier patrons get, two episodes a week. We do 8 episodes for every season of Survivor, and we've been doing this now for 19 straight seasons, and we're heading into our 20th. This is the first episode of our Heroes versus Villains coverage, and this is a little bit different of a topic than we normally do. Each season has there's 6 or 7 pretty consistent topics, and there's one that's a little different. For Samoa, we talked about the edit and how it was so Russell heavy. And for this one, we thought it would be fun, especially to introduce everybody to Heroes versus Villains for the first time in a while, to compare it to other milestone seasons such as Winners at War and 50, and talk about just what works so well with Heroes versus Villains. Because I think all of us are coming out of this viewing with the same feeling we've always kind of had about Heroes versus Villains, which it's as good as advertised. It is that good of a season. It might be the apex of Survivor. So here is our Patreon preview for Heroes versus Villains. We're comparing it to Winners at War and 50. Will, Blake with the attire. Blake showing up.
Some of us actually dressed up today. I think it's very interesting too. Maybe they didn't realize this, but season 8, 12 months later in our thing, that's an exact year. You get a preview every summer. I wonder if that's why they made the first one 8 and the second one 20. Basically, I think for Heroes versus Villains, it just feels like it's the pinnacle of Survivor. It feels like it hasn't really ever been topped of the gravity of welcome to the freaking show, of bringing people in on military helicopters and having the thought process of not how much money did that cost, but who cares? We're doing something cool. We're going to make sure you guys remember this forever. We are going to, it feels way more important than the hero, All-Star Survivor. It feels way more important than half of you guys are fans of the show. And ooh, look who's behind the corner. It's Amanda. It's this is actual, we are going to war more so than Winners at War was too. This is more Winners at War to me than it didn't matter that these people didn't win the game.
Mm-hmm. Will, yeah. What's your take on this viewing? And then we'll start getting into some comparisons here and talk about why this one's successful and why we're a little frustrated coming into 50.
Yeah, that's not where I want to start, but it's almost where I have to start. And Phil, I know you've been putting out a lot of Survivor 50 content so far, some of it positive, some of it negative. I've definitely been on more of the negative side. But when you watch this season, man, Heroes vs. Villains, it's epic. It's grand. The cast kicks ass. You're so excited. You can feel it. Even in episode one, obviously I've seen the season a bunch of times before, but even in that premiere episode, you can feel that something special is happening in a very similar way to Winners at War, when I believe we watched the premiere together, or we were trying to fill when this was, mm-hmm. I think maybe we were sharing the apartment at some point, and just like, I don't know if we were able to sync up actually watching it, but I remember walking by your room or your TV and seeing like, oh my gosh, like there's like Yule and like, I don't know, whoever was on his tribe. I just remember seeing Yule and being stoked, but like seeing this combination of people all on your screen at once feels really special. It feels powerful. And I hate to say this, but like, I don't know if I'm going to feel that way when 50 airs. I don't know if I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, whoa, it's Joe and Camilla and Kyle. Whoa, that's so weird. It's like, that's not going to feel weird, because we just saw them like a year ago. And yeah, obviously they'll be with other players. Like, it will be like, oh my gosh, it's Joe and Coach. Is that crazy though? Like, I don't know if that is. I don't think the cast feels as important or impactful as Heroes vs. Villains or Winners at War. And Winners at War is often talked about a season where it's like, man, it could have been better. Didn't really live up to the hyper expectations. But I know when watching Winners at War, at least early on, there was something really special that you could immediately feel in the season. And that is the same thing I felt in Heroes vs. Villains. And that is something that I expect not to feel for Survivor 50. And look, I could be wrong. I could turn on Survivor 50 and be like, oh my gosh, seeing Ozzy and Jonathan go head to head is going to be really special and really impactful. For some reason, I doubt that. But that's kind of my initial thoughts on when we're at least comparing it to the other milestone seasons, that 20 and 40 feel more special than 50, at least from a casting standpoint.
Well, and I think the thing that really stands out to me when you're watching Heroes versus Villains is it comes down to one word for me: simplicity. The simplicity of it's Heroes versus Villains. We all know what that means. We all know what heroes are. We all know what villains are. We all have preconceived notions of each of the players who are going out there. They did a great job with casting. I feel like they didn't overthink it. Yes, there are certain people left off who were in the mix until late, but at the end of the day, I think they did a great job with the casting. There's a couple where you're like, really? But Danielle and Candace come to play, and those were the two that I think were the biggest question marks coming into this season. For me, when you look at what's been going on with 50 in the hands of the fans, we have a name for this season, right? Heroes versus Villains is 20. Winners at War is 40. In the hands of the fans is 50. And in the hands of the fans is this really complicated thing that seemed like a really fun way at the time to get the fans involved. Right? Make it fun, kind of like Second Chance, which just missed season 30, was season 31. So it just misses being a milestone season.
Fair to bring up in this conversation, I feel like.
Right. So it kind of fits in that a little bit, because it's like in the hands of the fans, Second Chance, we're voting. But it feels like something is missing here in a lot of the areas. Second Chance was a more monumental voting scenario. We're not about to watch 20 winners. And the concept for this of who's going to play with who, who's going to be on each starting tribe, we've been having the conversations about what are these starting tribes going to look like, when in Heroes versus Villains, it was very clear. Boston Rob's a villain. It doesn't matter if he's played with other people. That's what he is. Coach and Tyson, they're both villains. Heroes, Stephanie and Tom are going to be on the same tribe.
Man, Coach should have been a hero.
Get out of here. So I feel like with what they did with 20 is it's simple. It's something that the casuals will eat up. It's something that the diehards will eat up. Everybody wanted to be a part of it, and they did a phenomenal job of capturing the wide range of Survivor. I know we don't have a season one representative, but to have Colby and Jerry as the first hero and the first villain both be on this season, to get Sandra, who was a one-time winner at that time, to come back and play again, to get Stephanie and Tom from season 10, they do a good job of getting a wide range, which I do think is missing when we're coming into 50, because we have a massive gap from 19 to 31.
Right. And it's not something you can really blame Winners at War for. Cause I was like, can we even get 20 winners, 10 of each gender? Like, is that even possible? And once it was like, sure, we can do it, it's like, you're going to get who you get at that point. I know there are some obvious people left out, like Vesepia, Earl. We've wanted to see Chris return forever. Todd, Hatch, you could make an argument for. But when you get 20 winners of the show, it's hard to complain about the cast. Like, any complaints is like, all right, you're nitpicking at this point. And Heroes vs. Villains is a very similar way. We have at that time 20 of the biggest names, and sure, there were a couple like, huh, with Candace and Danielle, but hey, when you're going 18 out of 20 as slam dunks, as I like to say, again, that's very nitpicky. Now we, you know, taking it to Survivor 50, and then let's, we are going to bring 31 to this conversation, Second Chance. The fans literally voted. They literally voted, so you can't have an argument. You can't, you can say, oh man, we lost Shane, but hey, that's how the fans voted. That's how it turned out.
And we lost Jim Rice.
The fans, where the fans did not vote, and we are missing huge chunks of, you know, like, what are the seasons? It's 19 to 31.
There's not a single first-time player from that show.
Massive part of Survivor history. With some of the most iconic seasons happening in there, looking at you, Nicaragua.
That's
like, that is a flaw. And that is like, you don't look at the, any of these all-star casts the same way. If you want to bring season 8 in here as well, after only 7 seasons, really hard to nitpick. There was some obvious misses where it's like, why isn't Greg back? But he didn't want to play. So that happens. 50 feels like a bigger miss overall. When you look at it compared to these seasons.
And Blake, before, I know you probably want to jump in and say, and Will, I agree with what you're saying here. I almost feel like since Survivor 31, Survivor, like CBS and Jeff, I feel like have been on a little bit of opposite sides, maybe of, not fully, but like on some of the things that they want to do with the show. I know 40 was originally supposed to be a legend season, not a winner season. And personally, Winners at War is an awesome idea, but I think Jeff gets a little tick in his box there of, he was right that doing an all winner season isn't necessarily going to make the best cast and the best season, because I think Winners at War starts off really hot and then it starts to fizzle, which Heroes versus Villains never does. But when I look at 50, it almost feels like, because we have now 25 years of Survivor to work with, there's a lot of second guessing that's going on with this, right? We want to make it new. We want to make it unique. We don't want to just do Second Chance 2. We don't just want to do Heroes versus Villains 2. We want it to be something different. But it's really hard to get as excited about In the Hands of the Fans as it is to get about Winners at War. I remember when I found out about Winners at War, I was sitting at Fat Sal's. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. And I remember being like, no way. They're going to get Parv. They're going to get Ethan.
Sandwich sucks so bad.
They're going to get Danny. No, but I was so pumped. It was so great. And I think that's where it's just been a little bit of overthinking and a little bit of second guessing that has taken place with Survivor 50. And maybe that is because, while 40 is epic in, you know, it's epic in idea, it's not necessarily epic in execution, especially with Edge of Extinction and such.
I think another thing that I would be like, I don't know if Jeff is parading in our fans of like, hey, 40 wasn't as good. I'm like, that's a bad thing for you, bro. I think one thing that I liked about 20 versus 40 is the, like, in 40, it's like, everybody bring in your family members together. Like, this is what Survivor's all about, is not the personalities that you've seen, not the people we interview, but your family members at home that we have no idea about. And it was like, oh, thanks, Jeff. And give us popcorn or something at the freaking, like, jury moment or something. Like, thanks, Jeff. It's been such an honor. And it's like, Jeff became part of the show. Like, Jeff is just the referee in a battle of the greats in Heroes versus Villains. The heroes aren't very heroic. The villains are the underdog. Like, it's hilarious how bad we're rooting for the villains the entire time, because the heroes are holier than thou. It's amazing how, I don't know, Elizabethan, or what is that? What is that? It's Shakespearean of, like, how that happens, of like, it's so sick. And for 40, I think that's going to be repeated in 50, of like, Jeff's like, you know, did you ever think about the greater qualifications of Survivor as a media topic for generations to talk about? And you're like, my God, save it for the after show. Like, let's watch Jonathan and Ozzy beat each other up in a 5-foot submerged pool. Let's go.
They won't. It's going to be 3 tribes. So yeah. That will be not, that's also something that Heroes vs. Villains does really well and clearly was a creative decision. It wasn't just a coincidence how many head-to-head physical challenges we had. I mean, we had two basketball challenges that are almost the same. Yeah. Where you just have to tackle the person and get the ball.
Yeah.
And then you have the obviously the opening challenge. You have the sumo challenge. Like, there are so many here where they are physically grabbing at each other. Where there is some playing dirty and there is some showmanship and there is this real rivalry and there's no tribe swap. And I think that goes back to Phil's point as being like, we have a clear vision for this season. We have a clear idea. It's Heroes versus Villains. Winners at War, I still agree, Phil, is a very simple, clear idea. And I do think that what they've said about season 50, that season 50, they want it to be a celebration of the eras and the celebration of the show in celebration of the fans. I feel like 40 checks more of those boxes so far than 50 has. Again, I've not seen 50. It's still being shot. But like, you go out for 40, there is this grand vision. They up the prize to $2 million. And Blake, I disagree with you. I think them bringing the whole family out is pretty awesome. You're looking at these people as someone who played three or four times that are icons of the show. Like, these are the faces of Survivor. You have Boston Rob, Harvey.
Well, why Tyson. Why are we not putting like, it in our favorite season?
And I'm saying we've done that. So what should 50 feels like? It's nebulous. We don't know. And again, we haven't seen it, but like, it doesn't feel like there is a clear vision. There is not this simplicity that Phil's talking about, that Heroes versus Villains decides what it is and sticks to it in a way that I don't think it's been rivaled yet, honestly.
What one thing I want to add real quick was like, Heroes versus Villains, I think, doesn't stray from top five for most fans.
No.
And what blows my mind is we did Blood versus Water 2. We did Redemption Island 2. We did Extinction Island 2. We never did Heroes versus Villains 2. And it's who stubborn ass is on the CBS payroll of like, oh, we could never do Heroes versus Villains again, when it's clearly there's at least 15 to 20 people that we could do Heroes and Villains. Like, that should have been the tribes almost for Winners at War, of like, these are the heroic winners. These are the villainous winners. And that's a more interesting way to do those two tribes of 10. Like, what? Why did we never have Heroes versus Villains 2?
I can tell you. The, I think you I can could... tell you the person's name. I can tell you their first and last name.
Good. Rip them.
Does it rhyme with Raph Ropes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Why would he not want to do Heroes versus Villains 2?
I'm gonna side with Jeff on this one though. This is like remaking Jaws. You're not gonna be able to do it, so don't do it. And don't
sharks
make
still the, bite, bro. It's sick.
Don't make the shitty spinoffs, because then you start to ruin the what made it great in the first place. That's what I think. So when it came to Heroes versus Villains, I don't think you do make a Heroes versus Villains 2. I think Blood versus Water made sense to do a Blood versus Water 2 because the idea worked and it made sense. Now let's try it with all newbies. Let's see what we can do. Heroes versus Villains is such a perfect season. I think it's also the reason why we've never just seen a season called All-Stars ever again, because they don't want it to be All-Stars 2. They're trying to come up with different reasonings, and Game Changers is essentially All-Stars 2.
And season 8 was so perfect, they could never recreate it.
Good season.
But you get what I'm saying. So I understand where the Heroes versus Villains not going into that comes from. But Will, you were talking about the challenges. And so when we do this series, just again, because obviously if you're not a patron and you're listening to this and you want to be a patron, you're like, what do you normally cover? We normally cover, next episode is going to be about the cast of the season. And we're going to talk about underrated castaway. We normally cover twists, theme. This season with theme, we're also going to be covering challenges. We get into the winner, and then we get into the legacy of the season. So we have a bunch of stuff. I feel like I missed one gameplay. So we cover everything. And one thing, Will, you were talking about with challenges, Heroes versus Villains was so clear that it wanted to make these people actually hate each other. Just like in real life, when a hero and a villain, or in a movie or something, when they're going at it, they're
Elizabethan play.
Yeah.
A Shakespearean.
Elizabeth times now. But that's what it's all about, right? It's all about getting your hero and your villain to be confrontational, and then hate. And that first challenge sets the tone for the whole show. And what's amazing is you look at what are some of the most iconic moments from the season. Stephanie dislocating her shoulder, Sugar with a double middle finger with her top off. That's in the first challenge. And then James throwing the beanbag thing at Randy's face. And Randy just, that's a lot of class. And Courtney saying, I knew you should have been on the villains, James. Like, that's some of the most iconic stuff. Coach riding Colby to the finish, which then he replicates at the reunion, which is very disturbing and could be replicated in 50. But these are the kinds of things that we just cannot get at 50. And I think knowing that they have to do a three tribe start, because that's just where we're at, where Survivor is, it is limiting them. Winners at War could have worked better, maybe. It works fine as a two tribe start.
What if it's tribes of 12 for 50?
Two tribes of 12 for 50 is probably too much because people are getting lost in the mix there. But I'm just saying, Survivor, you can't have this confrontation. You cannot have a premiere as epic as season 20, because the first challenge just simply can't be as epic as season 20. Cerise stiff-arming people running down the beach with that thing under her arm, and Rupert breaking his toe. These are iconic things, and it's all in the first challenge. That cannot happen in 50. Just like in 40, there's some good stuff in there, but it doesn't have that same tone, because it's Winners at War. It's great we're watching winners, but we're not watching the villains and the heroes use what it is about them to set the stage. And I just think it's the best theme the show's ever done. And I just don't know, with 50, you can't top it. But also, it doesn't feel like we're setting ourselves up to top it.
Right. Well, no, I think
we're not even going to try.
It could be topped. I think there was a world in which Survivor 50 could come out and be awesome. It just doesn't feel like we're on that trajectory. I also feel like this is more into legacy, but I feel like, and maybe I'll save this as a teaser, but I think for how good of Heroes versus Villains is as a season, I almost feel like it's partially responsible for the decline of the show in some ways. So we'll get into that more.
We'll get into that. I agree with you, because it struggles after it's trying to replicate stuff.
If we never have seasons 21 through 48, our lives are way different. But are there seasons of the show that, like, what are the top five seasons of the show that happened from 21 to 48 where it'd be like, I can't live without Kageyan.
Kageyan. Yeah.
But is wrong. There three others?
I can do Kageyan. Cast
no
members.
Go wrong. No David versus Goliath. That's three easy right off the bat there. To piss off the people listening. No 43. You know, that's brutal. Is that what you're wearing? You're wearing
millennials.
Millennials versus Gen X. There you go. I mean,
I'm ready for millennials versus Gen Z, bro.
I love Blood versus Water a lot. I know I'm not. I like that season more than most, but I think that, you know, I don't want people to think, oh, they're just complaining about 50, but it's just, when you're looking at how the stage was set for 20, that it's just interesting to me that it doesn't feel like Survivor's ever really tried to replicate this. Winners at War, you use the word war there, but that doesn't mean that they're actually at war. You had people on opposite sides who had relationships and all of that.
Winners with fire tokens didn't have a good ring.
Yeah, it just feels like with 50 in the hands of the fans. Okay, it's in the hands of the fans. That sounds good for some fans, but we have no idea what this is, right? When these tribes get announced, we're going to be trying to figure out why are they doing this. I would almost be fine if they just did it as Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty for Survivor 50. Make it BVBVB3. And here's maybe you could figure that out with 24 people, with the 24 people who are there, and put Jonathan and Joe on the same tribe. I don't care. Like, I don't care. I think that would even have more. I feel like Survivor got carried away with themes, like Will, you're talking about with legacy, and maybe we want to get into that later. But when you're talking about the word versus, I argued on Rob Cesternino's podcast during COVID that the word versus was a problem for Survivor, because David versus Goliath, you already know David wins that. So you're assuming that's kind of who people are going to be pulling for and stuff like that. There was this heroes versus healers versus hustlers. That means nothing. But it's like they went so far away from it. And when it's set up properly, when there's a real reason, even if they just did the season as new era versus middle, like versus old school, that's all they had to do. And that's a great, or as we did a podcast with Mike Bloom, new school versus old school versus middle school.
That's what it should have been, but there's not enough that it doesn't work with the numbers. That's what I'm like. That's why I'm like, wow, we got 24 people and it's three tribes of eight, and it's not new era versus old school versus middle school. I mean, maybe it's because middle school isn't a defined era, but I think you could have easily done the first 20, the second 20, and then the most recent 10. And that's like a perfect delineation of the tribes. Yeah, like,
it just doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't, but who, I mean, it's better than what we're getting. I mean, at least I think.
Yeah. And I think also something that's missed there is when you do a versus season, there's rooting interest beyond your favorite player, right? Like if you're watching Heroes versus Villains, when Tom Westman goes out as early as he does, Tom Westman might be your favorite player. And then you immediately go, oh, well, a hero needs to win. So now I'm rooting for Rupert or Colby. Like these are my heroes, right? Or I'm rooting for Amanda, depending on who you're rooting for. Whereas in this season, if Genevieve goes home, it's okay. Well, who am I latching on to? There's almost like a team element to Heroes versus Villains. That's missing from Winners at
Tribal
War.
Tribal even.
It's tribal. It's like rooting for your favorite team, because Blake, I know for sure, was rooting for the Villains. And still to this day, I'm rooting for Colby to figure out a way to win that final five in the MVP challenge. Yeah, every time. I don't know where Will stands. Will was probably rooting for Candace and Danielle, so I don't know where
I'm just at. Rooting for everyone to have fun. CBS hat.
But it's very interesting.
Remember when that guy wore that NFL hat into the NFL game of two other teams?
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe was just, he I'm just here loved for the NFL.
What else is there from comparison's sake that we're looking at that it feels like when you just rewatch 20, you're saying to yourself, I hope somehow 50 has that.
I think what I'm trying to say with my thought process is the competition is being elevated because the cast is elevated. But if you don't elevate everything else, it falls flat, or let's try something new. Now that we have the 20 best players on 40, let's throw fire tokens, a one-time thing that never happens again. And that becomes a main thing instead of what has got us to this place. What has made us this cultural touchstone? What are we good at? Let's focus on that. And once again, for 50, we're doing something random that's never happened before. This time we have 24 people. We've only ever had 20. And if you go back and watch those seasons that have 20 people, at least four of them completely disappear. And now you're going to double the disappearing people by, like, there's going to be 8 people that completely disappear.
Oh, you're 90 minute episodes now, Blake.
I'm not too worried about that. I promise you, there's going to be some people that go, I'm just going to say Emily Flippin. There's no way. But if you're a huge Emily Flippin fan, and she's not in the main argument of the first episode with her tribe, and she goes home in episode 2, and she only gets like 5 confessionals in episode 2, you're going to be extremely disappointed. And that's going to happen to a bunch of
Survivor.
That's Survivor, because I'm the biggest Courtney Yates fan alive, man. I love Courtney. Courtney gets 4 confessionals this season, and she's in it till final 11. Tyson's another one, like barely gets any screen time in this season. It's almost crazy they brought him back for Blood versus Water with how invisible he is on this season.
Well, they told him to throw the whole game. So
get out of here, dude. Yeah, there's Will and I actually cover that in a rock draw on the Patreon, since we're talking about Patreon here. And I know this is going on the Patreon first, so some of the patrons are like, we know that, but this is, you know, for everybody else. I'm not worried so much about the edit. I'm really not, because that's going to happen from one season to the next. And it is, I think what Heroes versus Villains really proved though, and what I think really reinvigorates my votes for In the Hands of the Fans, Heroes versus Villains trusted this cast. The producers just let it's all idols. There's no other random BS advantages or twists. There's no tribe swap. It is just, the heroes are down 8-5. We're going to trust the cast to figure it out. Russell, Parvati, and Danielle are outnumbered 6-3. We're going to trust somebody to figure it out, or we're going to have a couple boring votes. And I think they trusted the cast so well that it leads to this iconic boot of Sari, the double idol play at final 10. Sandra playing an idol she didn't need, but being able to just be like, I found an idol. And everybody be like, what the hell? Like, you're able to have that. Whereas we're coming into this season worried we might get dynamic advantages. And that's how the people on the bottom are going to become on the top. Colby Donaldson should have been 19th place on this season, and he finishes 5th. That's how people go from the bottom to the top. It's not some foreign concept. And if he makes final 3, I don't care what anybody says, he wins because he gets all the heroes votes. So it's just crazy that that's how it's being pitched to us. And this season is just trusting your cast. And it has, I think about the gifts from this season, the lines from this season, the idol plays from this season. It is nonstop from start to finish. And it's all because of the players. and it's just trusting this cast. So that's my big pitch for this.
Yeah, I'll end my thoughts for this conversation with this. Watching Heroes vs. Villains, I think one of my biggest takeaways was that even when the boots weren't that good, the episodes were really, really good. Like, the episodes were good throughout, and it wasn't relying on a blindside to end the episode, which is, I think, something the new era does so poorly of. The new era is so reliant on what is the outcome of the vote, who's going to lose their vote, what advantage is going to be played, what strategies are there, which we like strategy. It's fun to talk about. But when the vote in a new era episode isn't good, it really kind of makes the episode boring. Like, it really sours the entire episode. We saw that with 48 and two back-to-back episodes. Whereas Heroes versus Villains was like, okay, that was kind of a boring boot, but that episode was great. And I was surprised how much camp life was shown and how great just the characters were. I mean, we had chickens, we had fire, we had shelter. Like, we had all of that classic Survivor stuff. And I know this is still basically considered an old school season, but I think that would be my biggest takeaway from Heroes versus Villains that I would want 50 to use, is that even if I'm wrong, let's just say I'm a complete idiot and this cast is the best cast ever for Survivor 50, like, they couldn't have done better, then let that cast play, let that cast live, and, like, actually show us, I don't know, something other than just focusing on the vote. Because when the vote isn't good, it kills the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And Heroes vs. Villains is the perfect example of, like, yeah, we knew who was going home. That episode was like an 8 out of 10 because of everything that happened.
And Blake, before I turn it to you for your closing thoughts, I just want to comment on that, because, well, that's something that you and I talked about a lot during season 48. And I said, Survivors, the new era has become too reliant on telling the story based around the vote off and not the rest of the story. Everybody. So the pre-merge of Heroes versus Villains, in my opinion, is the greatest pre-merge in the history of the show. I think most people would say that, with just how all over the place it is, the comeback by the heroes, everything. The final 10 feels like it almost breaks the season, because then you're like, okay, the villains have control the rest of the game. On this rewatch, I forgot. The final 9 episodes, one of the best episodes of the season, because you think Sandra's ready to flip. Candace doesn't want to flip.
And then Candace flips as Sandra's flipping. So it's going to be a tie. So Sandra's like, I can't flip.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be 5-4 anyway. So she says, fine, I'm going to make it 6-3. So that episode's great. And then you get the double boot. And that's one of the best double boot episodes that Survivor's ever done. It's not a throwaway. Yeah, Danielle and Candace both go in that episode, but it's so much fun to watch the blow up on Danielle and Colby and Rupert realizing they can get rid of Candace with the rock in his pocket. Like, it's predictable people going home. And yet every minute of Heroes versus Villains is must watch TV. It's must watch. And that, I hope they figure out how to do that, because we care about the people on 50, at least a good majority of them. Even if you're tired of some of them or you don't have as strong of feelings, you're going to know these people. So you're going to care in some way. They got to figure out how to find this magic again.
I am only going to watch and podcast 50 until Q goes, and then I'm out.
And that's Blake's final thoughts on Heroes versus Villains.
No, I do think looking at it, I'm a casting person. The cast of 20, yes, we got to see them do it, but the cast of 20 is the most excited I've ever been to watch a Survivor season. The cast of season 50 is probably, I guess we only have 6 or 7 all-star seasons to pick from. It's like, I've already seen some of these people. Some of these people I don't want to see again. Some of these people I've never seen to
is
even
Kara
know.
Kara Mowen ahead of it? That might be the only returning player.
No shot. Like, Kara Mowen was my least favorite.
Kara Mowen's
the
only one that you were like, oh, that cast didn't really... I mean, like, even Blood vs. Water, I was, like, pumped with that cast.
Yeah, you get Aris on there, you're like,
Aris and Tyson and, like, yeah. Jarvis out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one for me, yeah. So, my thought process, is this my second least favorite? Like, it's going to... Who's going to come alive and prove me wrong? And then there's a very close chance of, like, the 3 or 4 who I'm rooting for wholeheartedly... If they're all pre-merge boots, what am I left with? And it's like, these are all the tertiary characters that came together. Like, the worst case scenario of everybody voting out the stars or the former winners, if that happens on All-Star Survivor 8, it's like, okay, we still have Boston Rob crushing everybody. Who's going to be the when the dust settles? It's really fun to watch the next Boston Rob. I don't know who that's going to be.
And final thing here is heroes versus villains. You lose somebody you care about every episode, and yet it's still probably the best final six that Survivor's ever had, right, because of how well that season is cast. So we're going to be talking about the cast. That's our next episode for the Patreon. That one comes out on Monday here, the 23rd. We're going to be diving into the cast, how they did it, who was cut, you know, and figure out how we feel about it as a whole. And then we're going to continue on. So if you're interested in becoming a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you're already a patron and you're listening to this, you know this plug anyway. But thank you all so much for listening to this. And for the next the next 3.5 weeks, next 7 episodes of this series, we'll be covering heroes versus villains. So if you're looking for some coverage of that season, something to get you through the summer while you're craving some Survivor, rewatch Heroes Villains and come along for this ride with us. We'll see y'all next time.
See ya.